This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Welcome to the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and Danny.
Wrong chords, Dan. Play the
My
break.
Chords are what I feel like I want them to be, Pearl. Because I'm playing this guitar and you're not.
I love it.
We've got, as usual, a great show for you. And we're so grateful that you've tuned in once again, years and years later. The number one health podcast of yesteryear. They're not even with me. Is anyone going to?
I'm totally with you.
I'm leaving audio space for you to interject. That usually is where you cut me off anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to send a text to John.
I don't know what to do at this point.
Okay. Here we are.
Serene's taking over today. She's got stuff to share.
You're our fam, you listeners out there. You're totally our fam. And maybe we overshare. Maybe we think you're our fam and we go too deep with details, but that's where you are in our hearts. And we're just really, really open about stuff. So, you know, if you're listening to these parties in consecutive order, you just heard Pearl's vacation into the eye of the storm and you heard about her experience. So I'm going to tell you about an experience I had on the same day.
Yeah.
I'm out of breath already just because my heart's pounding and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, So we had planned on sharing with you some other news coming up here pretty soon, but I have different news to tell you. So,
you can sit here and cry. It's okay.
No. I'm not going. I've done already a lot of crying, and so I know I've got a message.
Yeah.
So I can go home and do that. I have a message, and it's a message of hope for anybody who, and it's not even who's been in my predicament, who's been in many, many predicaments in life that keep you wanting to be connected to a dream that was in the past or to something that that you keep looking back to, and you're held in the past because the past seems brighter to you than your today or your tomorrow. And so I want to speak to that. So I don't want to get sidetracked with all my emotions. But so I found out I was pregnant in Florida in August.
For the second time,
yes.
Right?
Yes, so you heard that I had the miscarriage. So this time I got pregnant 3 months later, so excited. And
but hold on, let's go back, because this time it was a sticker. I mean, you were sure of it and you were so sick. We were keeping it a secret because we're going to do the big reveal and everything.
Every party that I ever came to share here, I was like wanting to lay down on this couch and just, I was so nauseated. I was nauseated from like 3.5 weeks in. I knew I was pregnant because of the sickness, which usually comes around 7.5 to 8 weeks, but it was bam. Like, I did the 6-day early test and it was dark and I'm like, this is a sticker. I'm so excited. So I never even had fear of losing the baby until we went to the wedding, Megan and Noble's wedding, a couple of weeks back now, a week and a half. And maybe it's even sooner than that.
This plays, it'll be 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everything was fantastic. I just felt weird twinges in my back. It was just a little bit weird. And the next day, just noticed something that was just thinking, oh, well, it's probably nothing. And it totally stopped, like a little tiny spotting, but it wasn't fresh. It was just nothing. And I was just like, oh, that's totally nothing. It happened with Solace's pregnancy. I'm like, oh, it's nothing. And I called the midwife. She said, no, it's probably nothing. It's probably easily explained. But we haven't heard the heartbeat yet, so come in and we'll do a little ultrasound just because then we'll relieve your mind and you don't need to be worrying. You've already had a miscarriage. And so I came in and I was expecting to hear the baby's heartbeat. And so the ultrasound saw the little baby. And, you know, I'm almost 11 weeks at this point. Mm-hmm. So I've gone through this almost this full trimester of sick. And every second of the day, all through the night I was sick, and every time I'd get up to go to the restroom, which was all through the night because I was really, these hormones were surging, my whole world was around this baby, you know, and all my children's world, and my little 2.5-year-old was just like, she weaned for this baby. I said, you got to share the milk with this baby. and anyway, so she weaned for this baby, and nursing was her life. So, I mean, we were all so excited, but I was laying there and they're like, we're so sorry. There's no heartbeat. You could still be very, very pregnant with a live baby. You've just got your dates wrong. And I know my dates, and I know when I got two bright pregnancy tests way back when. So I'm like, there's no way I've got my dates wrong. And they're like, are you sure about that? And I said, I'm sure. Because
did they take your HCG levels on? It said about 12 weeks pregnant.
Everything looked like all my hormones were high. I wasn't 12 weeks. I was almost 11 weeks. Yeah. But there's more to that story. So anyway, what had happened was my baby had passed to Jesus like 4 weeks before. And I'd been carrying this pregnancy. My body didn't want to give up the baby. And I was just very pregnant, very nauseated this whole time. But my baby was not even alive and I didn't know it, right? And so I came home and I was just devastated. I was just so – but not depressed, okay? But just devastated and deeply – like the loss was just so huge. Like I don't know, just a lot of people may not understand because I didn't get to hold this baby in my arms and or feel it kick yet, but it was such a huge loss. It's something because it's part of you and it's real.
I think so many women have. Yes. Yeah. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
And so I did journal a little bit and I never journal. I've brought 17 beautiful journals with leather-bound covers and like little leather straps that have clasps on them and everything, and never, ever done anything. But this was like, I have to get all these thoughts out and God gave me a revelation. And this revelation is what I want to bring to you today, and it's about longing. And I want to bring that to you today. So do you think that's weird if I read Cringe Fest?
I don't.
If I read like 4 pages of this?
I don't.
Okay, I say me a lot because I'm just writing about to myself. And then I say you a lot. I'm not meaning you listeners, but I'm like one of those people who when I think out how we as a people of this world should, like what would make it a better place for us. When I say you, I'm meaning that, okay? Yeah. So I just said, I miss my sweet baby here with me, but I can't long for yesterday because the baby isn't in yesterday anymore. I say he because I thought it was a boy. He was, but he has moved on and I need to as well. The baby is in today and in tomorrow. This is where I need to be, in the present and in the future as I look forward to it. Yesterday has only memories, no state of living, no verb of living, no true life, and I can cherish beautiful memories because this is the thankfulness and gratefulness. But all negative memories, I'm not going to remember anymore because they don't breed thankfulness, but only dark despondency and death to the present. So all yucky memories I'm going to trash. And I was thinking about that because, I'll read my journal. So I don't go back and revisit laying on the ultrasound table all alone because my husband wasn't there, and then hearing the words of terror and seeing the still screen. I'm not going to revisit that anymore. I'm going to resist. I will not revisit my awful drive home with my mind racing. I will not look at the contractions and the bleeding as horror and for nothing, but as an honor and as a rite of passage to bring closure to the graduation of this precious eternal soul to heaven. I do not see it. I don't see it personally as I pass this baby as a miscarriage, but a birth into heaven. It is an honor to birth it into heaven. These pains are sacred, not traumatic. They are meaningful, not meaningless. A sign that I carried life, the blood covenant of life. So I don't look back with longing for what I had, because in my brain, what was bringing so much pain was looking back, like, the moments I imagined. Like I imagine, when did it pass? When was its whisper of goodbye? So I wanted to look back to the time when it was alive and living inside of me. And so I'm just off now. I'm not even reading my journal. I'm just talking. But that's what I was just constantly going back and looking back. And I realized I'm not going to look back with longing for what I had, but I look forward with longing for what I still have. I don't long for yesterday, before the news, before the sad event, because that's what I wanted to go back before the wedding. I wanted to go back to the wedding itself when I was pregnant and dancing around with all my extended family and so excited and thinking about the next wedding we were having soon, which was going to be my own daughter's, and imagining me very pregnant there and excited about the new baby to come. And I was going back. I was constantly going back. And so I'm continuing reading here. I long for what is the future of this life that cannot ever be lost. I long for when we will be reunited. I had a realization that everything good can be perverted and I'm reading here, so if it sounds weird, I'm just reading my journal. Longing is inherently good. It is a desire, a natural God-given emotion, but it can be perverted and used outside of its intention. I don't believe, I'm talking to myself, we should ever long for the past. Longing for the past brings death and disappointment and discontentment into the present and cancels out a longing for a new hope for the future. Longing for the past is having a graveyard of memories instead of a thankful, sunlit hall of memories. I can't go forward if I'm wishing to go back. God is a living God. He moves in the now and wants to weave with me a glorious tapestry of my future. But all things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. The journey I was having with my baby yesterday has changed. It's a different journey today. I can't thrive or get on God's sovereign path by wanting the roads of yesterday. I courageously, with God, choose yes. Yes, it's a choice. I choose to journey with where He is leading me and my children and my present and future today. I can't long for the old life in Egypt like the children of Israel did, looking back with wishes to return. I have to embrace the provision of manna, God's fresh provision, His fresh table for today, His portion for me today. Manna means what is it? This present portion or the table or cup I drink today may seem like a mystery to me and something I can't understand or I didn't expect, but it is what God has chosen or has allowed to nourish me. It may not look like nourishment to me. The children of Israel wanted the quail and the leeks and the onions from Egypt. The small seed-like, quirky manna didn't look like nourishment, but it was divine food, perfect to sustain and grow and make them thrive. When they chose to embrace the what is it, they didn't get weary, and they walked through the years of the wilderness without one of them wearing out. The leeks and quail could not have done this miracle. We need to partake. So when I talk about we, I'm not talking about you. It's just I'm just speaking to my journal. We need to partake of what's fresh to not grow weary in the wilderness of life. And the reason why I was writing that is because what was fresh for me now is this new journey with my baby. I can't go back to what I thought was provision. This is a wilderness time for me, and He's going to sustain me with it. But it's a mystery, right? It's a mystery. But this new journey with my baby is fresh. I know my baby lives. I know my baby is eternal, and I have to keep looking for that longing and not long for what was. So I continue, and I'm almost done. We can't eat from yesterday's stash of manna even, like the children of Israel, because it would grow maggots. So I choose today to drink the cup of today with gratefulness that God will sustain me through it. Yesterday's cup is not living water. It's too stale for today. Fresh is the best. We do our best to nurture life and health in every aspect of our lives. We do our best to learn and choose that which begets life. We live by faith and righteousness and the wisdom of the Lord, and then we leave the weaving of His sovereignty and we rest, because that was what I was dealing with. What did I do wrong? You know, whatever, what, you know. But, you know, I did my best. I chose life in every area of my life, and I have to leave it to sovereignty. I don't know why, and I don't want to ask why, because I think why is a victim question. Mm. You know, and Graham Cook taught me this. He's like, don't ask why, people. The question is to ask, what does this mean for me now? Because why is a victim question? So I held on to that. So I'm like, God, I'm not going to ask you why, because I'll find that out in heaven, but I'm going to ask you what are you to be for me now? And so that's where I was. So, and then I say, we have to leave the weaving of His sovereignty and to rest. We eat our daily manna He provides and know He is working it for our good. I choose to hold His hand and walk the fresh, unknown trail of today. I look for His goodness. I will awake myself to His goodness along the way. His goodness follows me. It doesn't get trapped in the past. I press into courage to live in today and long for the desires of tomorrow, not yesterday. And I'm reminded, Pearl, and I wrote this in the journal, I'm reminded of that movie comedy that Pearl took me to. And I don't know the name, but I put it in the little quotation, "This is where you live." It was a dance movie.
Oh, hit.
Would you know the one?
Yeah, Hitch.
Hitch. It was not a good movie. Don't take your children to it.
Oh, no, it's a good movie.
Nor is it a dance movie.
It's the best movie.
There was a dance, and this guy was like dancing at this place, and he's like, "This is where you live." Yeah. And this is what I feel like the Lord's saying to me. He used that movie that Pearl took me to, that we also took my mum, and we were very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
sitting
well,
next to our mom.
Don't
take your mother to Hitch,
with
please.
That question,
don't take your mother to Hitch. Well,
I can see your mom with that question mark on her face.
If your mother is like our mother, don't take her to Hitch.
So, but I felt like the Lord.
That
I felt like the Lord saying. Danny's doing our mother's face. He's doing it very well. I feel like the Lord said to me, this is where you live.
Oh, that's good.
This is where you live. And it's a dance move. And I'm like, I can be joyful because this is where I live. So this courageous living in today, embracing the newness, even the uncertain mysteries of today, is where I'm going to truly live. We can't live inside of yesterday ever again. We can only die inside if we hunger for yesterday. And I'm not saying I can't, and I'm still journaling and it's just rambling. It's just a conscious stream of consciousness. I'm not saying I can't be thankful in memories, because thankfulness is the fruit of truly living in the day, because it's counting our blessings and fueling joy. But hungering for yesterday wrecks our metabolism for hope. And then that was my journal. And then I wanted to write some things that relate now to our journey that have nothing to do with losing a child.
That's good though, Serene.
Yeah, it was cringe reading.
It wasn't cringe, not a bit. A lot of women have experienced miscarriage loss and other things. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. The loss of the baby is just very dramatic in my life. But there's no depression attached because of the hope of the Lord. But I felt like where I was getting trapped was the longing, was wanting to go back before. And it was a trap. Yeah. It really was really shuffling me up. And you know, the Lord was giving me this revelation. And then I go check my phone, check a message, and then check my emails. Bing! Check out what your baby is doing today now that you're almost 12 weeks.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to yesterday immediately. Yeah. And I want to go back to before I heard the news. And so I felt like the Lord say, no, you've got new hopes in this journey. Where is this journey taking you now with your baby? Now I want you to hope and desire the future. You're reuniting together. Your baby lives. This is just a vapor here. And so I have a journey with this baby, but I'm not going to repeat the journey that I had. Unless I look back to be thankful, and I'm very thankful for the time that I even carried the baby and didn't know that it was even dead inside of me. I feel like it was a beautiful, sacred time of even more time celebrating that life that deserved to be celebrated. And even if I was in ignorant bliss, it was bliss. And so that was great.
You didn't share any of the, well, and you don't have to, you know, I guess because that's your private journey, but you didn't share in the end how you waited and waited for it to come, and your body didn't want to let it go. And then when it finally did, it was really
quite... I was so proud
quite...
of my baby for not wanting to let it go. I was actually probably egging it along not to let it go, because even though the baby was dead, I felt close to the baby still carrying it. And I still had all the pregnancy hormones. In fact, just to have a joke with you guys, if you've listened to the potty about wonderful Jethro and his wonderful experience of just looking at the goodness of God through incredible tragedy. And
he's
lost his wife and a 10-week-old baby through his wife dying of leukemia, and we watched him walk through it with such incredible victory. And I said to my husband, I stomped my foot down when I came home from the hospital. By the way, this is all going along the time when I'm praying for Pearl to survive the hurricane. This is Pearl's hurricane weekend. This is what my weekend was at home. I stomped my foot down. I said, I'm a failure. I'm not even being a Jeffer.
Yeah.
Because he's like, but you're a woman and you're filled with these pregnancy hormones, so you need to give yourself a break. But I mean, I wasn't depressed, but I was just
And then when the baby finally did, you know,
so
your
yes,
body
I've carried
passed,
the baby till this Sunday. So I'm sitting here talking, and it's 2 days from Sunday, and I ended up in the emergency room.
But when
room.
This, yeah, yeah, with we're really
yeah, I ended
bad
up in the emergency room. I thought that I was dying because I've gone through many labors, as you know. I've got 9 live children, and never have I seen a horror movie filled in every bathroom at my home and along the way to the hospital.
Yeah, for some reason this was just very.
Yeah, and as we're sitting here, I'm still walking that journey and believing that God will heal me. I don't know the end of the journey yet, but my body is still excessively bleeding, but we'll just see what happens. And I have faith. I totally have faith. But anyway, I wanted to read this, not to be a reader today, but I wrote down these thoughts. So I thought, Pearl said, I said, I don't really want to share it as a weird person, a weird thing, but I wanted to share the longing revelation, and I want to share why I want to share it right now. So I wrote some things down about it last night when Pearl said I should share it. I know that it's not just in the area of a loss of an unborn child that someone can relate to the longing for yesterday. And of course, when somebody's even held, you know, held a somebody that they love or had memories of life with them, I mean, that longing for yesterday, of course, would be even more tangible and such an incredible force. But some are stuck in the past because it was something that's not even a loss. It could just be because the past was more comfortable than today. Like some people are stuck before 2020. Yeah. Like life before 2020, they want to go back.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go back. I would love, I mean, not that I really, because I've got this revelation now, but beforehand I'm like, I want to go out in town and not see apocalyptic mask wearers.
Right.
Not that I'm against people that wearing masks, just hear me. I'm totally fine with people who choose to wear masks. It's totally great. But it looks like an apocalyptic movie to me. It doesn't
well, life
bring
has
hope
changed.
To,
yeah, life
it doesn't
has
bring hope. You know, of like children dancing through a park.
I want to get snacks when you go on a plane again.
Yes. I want to travel. I want to go back to Israel. I want to take my children. We were meant to be at a family reunion, yeah. Pearl. Remember in New Zealand this January?
Yeah,
we're
and all the people
down.
That have lost their businesses and yeah. stuff. So, you know, there's a longing for
that.
It's
a longing. Maybe you want to go back before a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe before a knowledge of a sad event or a sad fact. Before a failed relationship. Before you binged for 6 months during a stressful season, you want to go back. We get paralyzed longing for yesterday, that we don't change or view today to embed longing in tomorrow to that actually takes action and brings, we need a longing for tomorrow so we have action today that makes tomorrow bright, right?
Yeah.
We can't long for the life when we fit into our size, whatever. Let's long with hope and the fresh action of living fully involved in today, the present, to fit back in that healthy size in the future. So we don't long back, oh, it wasn't that great. I had it awesome. Oh, I was just so happy when I fit into blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that blah, blah, I'm saying blah, blah, because it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Healthy may be 14 for you and it may be 4 for somebody mm-hmm. else. So, but we don't look back and long for that. We look forward with excitement. To that. We hope and long and work towards a healed relationship instead of saying it used to be good. We once were happy in the good old days.
Wow.
We look for the beauty and bloom in the era and time we are planted. 2020 is our time to shine. When the dark gets darker, the light shines brighter. And we remember with joy the time when we enjoyed a precious season, but we don't long for it. And I'm so proud of you two, Pearl, and my sister as well, and I'll tell why. But like living in the same town as a grandchild, you know, some people, I've heard some people say, oh, well, they moved, you know, a year ago and you know, it's been pretty sad since then and blah, blah, blah. You know, you had Meadow and them living and you had pretty much all your grandchildren living right in your backyard almost. Yeah. And now that's different. Now they live in a different town. But, you know, longing for that season, you've made the best of the new season and looked for opportunities to make this season, which is a little more distant, mm-hmm. but to make that be exciting. It's the new mm-hmm. journey. It's longing for the new and to make the best of the new instead mm-hmm. of pining for an old season. And I love that with our sister Vange. You know, she has 10 beautiful children. And when her season was up with having babies, you think because she did it for so long and that mm-hmm. was who she was, that was her identity. She was like the wild mom at home. But she didn't long for back for that season. She let it go and now she's the adventure woman of the world. It's like I can't imagine her being tied down to a house anymore because she's out in a kayak, you know, and out 3 miles out in the ocean. And she will look back and thankful to this and say, that was such a great season.
Yeah.
But she's not chained to that season saying, I can't have a season just as great.
Yeah.
I can't move on. It's just I'm proud of you and her for those things. But instead of pining for the better time, we delight in the now. We embrace the new road. We find the new and different ways to connect. And capture the joy. We learn how to be fantastic elastic, you know?
That's good.
And I love that. I love that. To be able to be so elastic that we can conform.
Yes.
Not in different morals, but to conform so that we can say, hey, that was yesterday and that was great, but this today may look different, but I'm going to make it fantastic because I'm going to be elastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
I'm Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. And in my personal recent pain, you know, I look to the day of my reunion with the babies. I say babies now, you know, that have slipped from my hands but never from my heart. And the future has so much treasure for me. So why wouldn't I want to long for the future? When I look back with when it's a thankfulness, that's great. I look back with thankfulness to have had carried that baby so long. But I have to keep my eyes ahead. I can't look back. Like even I was telling Pearl, even on the car ride here, we don't clean our cars up here on the hilltop. Well, maybe some of us do, but I don't think Pearl has a great habit of it either. You're a bed maker, but not necessarily a car cleaner.
I haven't gotten there yet.
You haven't got that identity. Well, I sat in the car and I saw my smoothie cup that I had to eat on the way to the ultrasound. And I saw the mask that I threw off into the dashboard because I had to wear it to get into the building. Yeah. But it all brought me back fresh to the day of pain, you know? And I wanted to, it was natural for me to go back there and have a good cry, but I refused it. Mm. I'm like, I can be tender and mournful towards my baby, but I am not going to go back to dark memories. Yeah. I refuse. And so I just decided to take a deep breath and think about where they are today and imagining them and imagining their purpose in heaven and you know, the future for me and for them. And so I've got treasure there.
Yes.
I'm not going to go back.
Good.
Other relationships other than no, sorry. Actually, it says revelations here, not relationships. But I do have a revelation and I'm going to preface it. I have great compassion for I'm pro-life, but I have great compassion for any man or woman who has been victims of abortion. I don't think babies are the only victims of abortion.
No.
I think that mothers are full of fear and many times they're abandoned. Many times they're not only abandoned by boyfriends or husbands, but by parents who they basically be disowned if they come back. I feel like they've been trapped by the great deceiver. And I have great compassion. Pearl, you and I have great friends who in past seasons of their life have had abortions,
yes,
but are beautiful mothers of babies today. But their whole mind was in a different panic moment, yes, of fear, and they were trapped. And so I have great compassion. I have no condemnation. I don't think that we can separate and say, you were trapped in fear and made this awful decision. Well, I've been trapped in fear and made awful decisions before.
Yeah.
And sin is sin to God. And I'm not going to say one is like over here and condemn when I think all of us have made decisions that we wish we hadn't made because we were put in a place of fear. So I really want to preface that. I am not in any way in hatred towards those who are pro-choice. I have my very strong conviction about pro-life. That's
yes.
all. And I do believe it's not just the babies trapped. And many women go on after abortion to suffer great depression,
yes,
and great just suffering. And I feel that because I know the suffering that I feel after a miscarriage, and I know that that is theirs deep down. And so I have great compassion for that. But I was, as I was laying there on the ultrasound table and, you know, saw the baby and, you know, it's the kind of ultrasound that's a little more invasive,
yeah,
because it was a
the vaginal,
yes,
one.
A smaller. And I was laying there, and the atmosphere wasn't good in the room. Maybe there was this feeling like something was wrong, or it was a small room. My husband wasn't there, and I had this feeling like I was connecting to women who have had abortions. It was this weird thing, and then I saw this little still baby on the screen, and my heart was just so broken, and I felt so vulnerable and so invaded,
yeah,
to, and it was just this incredible feeling of loss. And I came home and told that to my dad. I just said, it's such an awful loss. And just to see this baby with just no milk, it's this beautiful little baby, but still. And he said, Serene, I'm wondering if that's how God feels. You know, you felt this pain once. You've only once had to experience the still picture of a baby, but is that what God's had to experience 63 million times in America alone? Because he's the great father. I mean, you're a mother, but parenthood has been birthed in the heart of the father. And it just made me realize, you know, it just made me realize that life is precious. And this is nothing, like I said, and I've prefaced it with great intensity of sharing my heart. This is nothing against anyone involved on the other side of things, but life is precious. And so, you know, and that's why I don't think it's even about whether you like somebody in an election or whether, you know, you like this personality better or this personality is vulgar or this personality is whatever. I just feel like right now I'm moved to put my my name on the side of life. Mm-hmm. Because I just saw God having to go through that. Like, I have a purpose and I have a plan. Still, baby. You know, so you might remove this from the podcast, but I just felt that was a revelation that I had. And I just felt like that I wanted to share that. But I had also just two more things to say. We're 29 minutes in, that I feel like I can say this. This is backtracking a little bit, back to the longing and not looking back. And some verses that God gave me, just so incredible. And it says here, in Psalm 139, verse 5 to 7, let me see if I can pick it up. I've earmarked my page, so just hold on, people. Here it is. This 5 to 7. Okay, here it is. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep, incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings wonder and strength. And it was so huge, because I felt like God saying to me, I've gone into your future. I'm preparing a way. Look forward, look forward, look ahead, Serene. And in my kindness, I follow behind you. I'm going to stand between your past and you. I'm there. So every time you look back, you're going to think for thankfulness, because I'm going to protect you from all the pain. Like, I'm standing there. When you look back, you're going to see me. And it said to spare me from the harm of my past.
Wow.
And I realized, if I'm going to look back, I'm going to be harmed by my past, because right now in this mourning process, every time I look back, I'm brought to tears because I look back at that joy that's been snatched.
Yeah.
But no, he says, I've gone ahead into your future to prepare a way for you. Mm-hmm. And that's why I felt like I walked into the party and they're like, how are you? And I said, I'm very blessed, because God's given me some great revelations. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of God. He is a father, and he loves to give drink to the thirsty, you know. Mm. And a lot of people that they're thirsty, and that's a great thing, because he gives that living water so that we'll thirst no more. And I sure was thirsty when I came home that day, thirsty emotionally. You know, I just normally when I'm in town, go drive all the way to the Nashville, I'm like, hey, let's hit Whole Foods, let's get a little treat. I'm big girl. I drove on the highway. I want some Gouda cheese for my drive home. I'm like, I don't want to go into Whole Foods. I don't want to go anywhere. I was like speeding down the highway, just like my mind was just racing. I'm sure I wasn't causing accidents, but you know, I was just focused. It was just like awful. But I feel like I came home thirsty, and he fed me. He gave me that living water. And then just one more verse in closing. Here, Psalm 139:23-24. It's just up a little way here. It says, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you. And I felt him say, the path that brings you back to me, Serena, is looking ahead. And then when he said, see if there's any path of pain that I'm walking on.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and all the looking back, you know, wanting to revisit. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go back to that path of pain. So hopefully that's helpful for you. You know, it doesn't have to be a loss of a child. It can, many people have lost in deeper ways than I have, because I feel like I'm not taking away what I've gone through, because it's such deep loss. I can't explain it in words. Like, I'm not depressed, but I can't explain the deep loss. But those who've gone through it know. But I do want to say, the more earth suit a baby puts on,
yeah,
the more you feel like they were they were meant for earth. Yeah. And so if those who have gone through losing children with more of an earth suit than my baby had, I mean, you're amazing people. And I just pray that this will have blessed you. And even if it's just the fact that you hate 2020, may this bless you too.
Yeah, so good.
Producer John here. Hey, Serene, just I wanted to let you know, just from the bottom of my heart, and I hope I speak for the majority, if not everybody listening right now. 2-3 hours ago, Pearl and Leslie and I, we were in a exec meeting at Pearl's house, and I was sitting 6 feet from your husband. And Pearl and I were going over, like, how we were going to schedule this recording session today, because she just got back and, you know, we got deadlines and all. And I watched your husband, Sam, when we were talking about, were you even going to be here? And he was like, without question, he's like, she's not going to be here. And I've had a lot of people that I've worked with and have worked for me over the years, and I have heard every excuse to not come into work. And man, I whatever the biggest attagirl I can muster up out of my heart, I'm floored that you're even here. So you're an amazing human. Jim, Matthew, Mama.